It's 5:06. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Verrett. Coming up, we'll talk to a political scientist about documents related to the John Doe investigation. They were accidentally released on Friday. Some critics say these documents show a secret fundraising operation involving the governor.
As you hit the road today on your way home from work, you might lament the number of potholes or crumbling pavement you encounter along the way. While the cost of maintaining our roads and highways can seem steep, some reports suggest that the cost of not maintaining them is much higher.
Our next guest says when you look into the collateral economic damage that comes with driving over deteriorating highways, it adds up and ultimately takes a toll on our economy.
Andy Herman is with us now. He's the past president of the American Society of Civil Engineers. Andy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Let's start out by talking about how much funding currently goes into maintaining our U.S. highways. Do you know the number?
Right now, I think we're spending about $70 billion a year for the highways and about $12 billion for our bridges. And that's annually per year.
And is it enough? How much do we actually need?
Well, the Federal Highway Administration has done an estimate of what we really need. And for the bridges, we need over $20 billion. So we're only investing about 20.5, so we're about $8 billion short just for the bridges. And with the highways, I believe it's over $100 billion. We're only spending about $70 billion. So you can see we're not spending enough each year for our bridges and our roads.
And what, I guess, how does that add up in terms of collateral damage that we were just talking about in our intro there? What's happening to as a result of the lack of necessary funds?
Well, we can do it both on a national basis and also on a Wisconsin basis. Just looking at our roads, driving on roads in need of repair costs Wisconsin motorists over $1 billion a year in extra vehicle repairs and operating costs. You can break that down. It's about $281 per motorist. But if you want to look at it on a national level, the American Society of Civil Engineers put out a Failure to Act economic series. It's a report on what happens if we just keep investing in our infrastructure at the same as we've been doing for the last 5 or 10 years. What happens to the U.S.? And we found out that not increasing our investment, just keeping the investment the same as it is, will cost the American economy more than 877,000 jobs. It's going to suppress the growth of our gross domestic product by almost $900 billion by the year 2020. It's actually going to hit each family's budget for over $1,000 per year between now and 2020 for additional travel costs and additional maintenance costs. It'll increase transportation costs for businesses by $430 billion between now and 2020. So guess what? We're paying even though we're not getting the benefit of improving our infrastructure.
And your organization estimated that congestion on major urban highways even costs the economy more than $100 billion a year in fuel and lost work time. Talk about how you arrived at that number. Why is it so high?
Well, you start looking at the amount of time people sit in traffic, and you look at the value of their time being wasted, but you also look at the amount of fuel they're losing, wasting. And you can even go into the environmental. Look at the additional carbon monoxide that's being pumped into the air. Delays. In terms of getting goods to market or the raw materials to the factories. It all adds into delays, additional costs to Americans.
How do our roads, our highways, our bridges rank in terms of acceptable quality today? Are we generally driving on safe infrastructure or not?
Well, if you look at the statistics put out by the federal government, 11% of our bridges are considered structurally deficient, and another 14% are considered functionally obsolete. Now, in Wisconsin, it's a little bit better, though not good. The number's a little bit smaller in terms of functionally obsolete and structurally deficient. It's only 8% structurally deficient and only 5.5% functionally obsolete. And these are things that affect our driving. Functionally obsolete bridges aren't safe, but they're designed to older codes. They may not have the same lane width. They may not have adequate turning radiuses. They may not have the capacity to carry modern trucks. Structurally deficient means there's something that could cause adverse effects in the structure itself. And for that reason, it's being watched. It may have a load posting for minimum loads or maximum loads that can go over it, or it may have emergency repairs, or it may actually be closed.
So you're saying, though, that it's, I don't know, is it okay to still drive over a bridge that's been called functionally obsolete? It doesn't sound good.
Or even structurally deficient.
Yes.
Well, in the country, every highway bridge in the nation is required by law to be inspected at least every 2 years. And when the DOT, Department of Transportation engineers, look at those bridges, if they find something wrong, they have several options. I mean, if it's really bad, they can close the bridge. They can post it for loads. They can reduce the speed limit going over the bridge. They can decrease the number of trucks. Or they can start looking at the defect more frequently. And a lot of times they do that. They watch it and monitor it.
How does Wisconsin rank for safety of roads and bridges?
Well, in terms of deficient bridges and functionally obsolete bridges, you actually have a lesser number than the national average. You only have about 5.5% versus 14% for functionally obsolete, and only about 7% versus the 11% for structurally deficient. So you're doing a little bit better on your deficient bridges.
But still deficient, all the same, it sounds like.
But still deficient. We should be cutting down on the number of these. We have to make investments in the infrastructure so that we can keep on using it. Right now, the average age of a bridge is over 42 years old. And when those bridges were designed, they were probably designed for a 50-year design life. So we have to do the maintenance. We have to do the repairs to keep them going, to extend their lives.
So it seems especially dangerous to let bridges go in disrepair. I'm wondering if, given a limited amount of funds and resources, should the priority go to repairing bridges first, or if forced to make a choice, what would you choose?
Well, we have to do that maintenance. We have to maintain the bridges because it actually pays off in the long run. Dollars in maintenance up front save you many dollars later down the road. But you have to do the repairs based on those inspections. You have to make sure the bridges are safe. So that's what the departments of transportation have, the hard decision. They have to look at the limited budgets they have and then apply it to the maintenance, which sometimes can be deferred, but also to keeping them safe by doing the repairs and rehabilitations they have to do.
We're talking about how crumbling roads and highways and bridges can have a deeper impact on the overall economy. Our guest is Andy Herman, past president of the American Society of Civil Engineers.
And we want to hear from you. If you had the unfortunate experience of maybe driving over a pothole, hearing something in your car break, blowing a tire, what was the cost of the damage to you? What are the roads like where you live or where you've driven on vacation maybe this summer? What should we do? How should we pay to improve those roads and bridges? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org.
We're learning how damaged roads, bridges, and highways can take a toll on the overall economy with Andy Herman. He's past president of the American Society of Civil Engineers.
And you can join the conversation. What are the roads like where you are? Should the United States, should Wisconsin invest more into maintaining better roads, highways, and bridges? Is there something else that can be done to reduce the economic impact that a crumbling transportation infrastructure might bring? And are you in the business one way or the other? Are you with the Department of Transportation, a road builder yourself, or a trucker? What do you see on the job? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Andy, we spoke earlier about some of these dollar figures and the impact of having congested highways and bridges in disrepair. Has the American Society of Civil Engineers, your organization, suggested solutions to the problem?
Well, there's a number of ways to make investments. It's basically up to our political leaders to choose some of those. Right now, if you go back to the beginning of the interstate highway system back in 1956, it was a pay-as-you-go. We had a gasoline tax or a user fee that was added to every gallon, and that helped us pay as we go to build the whole system. But if you start looking back, it was raised in the early years, but the last time it was raised was 1993. That's 20 years ago. So that federal tax, that 18.3 cents a gallon that goes to the Federal Highway Trust Fund, hasn't been raised in 20 years. So we're living on fees that are 20 years old, even though there's been inflation and cost of living rises in that period. So, you know, it's no wonder that the Highway Trust Fund keeps going to the brink of insolvency and why they have to do some short-term fixes from the general funds. We really should find ways to increase the user fee, and the gas tax would be a simple one, but it doesn't seem to be politically available right now.
How does mass transportation like commuter rail or other forms of public transportation factor into the discussion?
Those have funds that are similar to or part of the Highway Trust Fund. So there are certain percentages that go to mass transit. And if you think about it, it's logical, because if you start getting more people to take mass transit, you're taking more off the highway.
Let's take a call from Mary Jo in Milwaukee. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I traveled quite a bit through Japan, and I noticed that their highways, their freeways, were perfect everywhere I went, and I didn't see construction going on either. So I just wonder if you know how they do it. Do they do more preventive maintenance, or were their roads built out of better materials to begin with? Do you know that?
I'm not sure exactly how Japan does it, but a lot of other countries charge a lot more on their gas tax. If you look at Europe, you're paying probably the equivalent of $6+ a gallon. So they're using more money to improve their and maintain their infrastructure. The U.S. isn't.
I wonder, too, how much the climate has to do with the health of our roads, too. At least here in Wisconsin, we can always expect potholes to pop up after the spring and after the winter has done its damage to our roads. And I don't know that the same would be true in Japan.
Well, the northern part of our country, particularly the Northeast, does have a severe climate, and we do put a lot of salt on our roadways and bridges. And that salt actually gets into the pavements, and there's reinforcing bars in the pavements, and as the salt and the water reaches it, those reinforcing bars start to rust. And when steel rusts, it expands up to 8 times its volume. That's why you have the pop-outs, which cause the potholes on the roads and the bridges.
Let's take a call next from Jerry in Ladysmith. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, I'm wondering if Andy could address the economics of asphalt surfaces versus concrete. You know, obviously the asphalt surface is a little cheaper on the front end, but I think the concrete lasts longer. I'm wondering if you can address that.
Yes, the concrete can be made, you know, with the thicknesses and the reinforcement, and the bases can be placed in, and it does cost more, but you're looking at a long-term investment. We really should be looking at life cycle costs between asphalt and concrete when we're actually doing the design or the planning, actually not even the design, the planning to try and get the best economic package to put into our roadways. And the other thing we have to think about is how much downtime is there for the traveling public while we're changing these. Maybe if we can get a roadway that lasts a little bit longer, we can inconvenience the public less.
1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation. 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Andy, we were talking about bridge health and infrastructure earlier, and I think back to the tragic events in Minneapolis a few years ago with the bridge simply collapsing. How are we on the brink of more of those? And if so, where should we be looking first?
Well, it's interesting. I-35 in Minneapolis was actually rated as structurally deficient, but they were rehabilitating it at the time. The study that went into why it actually failed came up with a design flaw. The gusset plates, the steel plates that hold the triangular members together, were actually, several of them were only half as thick as they should be. And that combined with the loads on the bridge for the construction materials being offset and the actual construction all contributed to that bridge going down. But it was a structurally deficient bridge, but it was being rehabilitated. It's lucky that across the country, we do have the federal requirement for the biennial bridge inspection, because that allows us to look at each bridge and to make sure that it is safe for the traveling public.
Bill in Greendale is on the line next. Hi, Bill.
Hello. Yeah, I was. I understand that the driving, we're driving less now, and I had a question. How do you think that'll? Will we need to get extra taxes then if we do go the gas tax in the gas? And then, do you think it's fair how much the truckers pay for the roads? Do you think they pay enough?
Well, I think the cost of diesel fuel is actually higher than the gas tax at this point. But you're very right. We've been pushing for better fuel efficiencies on our cars. We have hybrid cars going on now, so we're actually getting more miles out of each gallon. And that means we're buying less gasoline, and we're getting less of that 18.3 cents per gallon into the Federal Highway Trust Fund. There's been various studies and talks and actually tests for mileage-based fees, where you'd have similar to an Easy Pass device in your car that would basically you would pay by the mile rather than by the gallon. And these have been tested, I believe, in Minnesota and also in Oregon to see if they're viable, and they are viable. It's just a question of how do we want to pay for our infrastructure, and that's one of the ways. There's also additional fees or toll roads, tire taxes, but it all comes down to, you know, who should be paying for the roads? Shouldn't it be the users of the roads, the people who benefit from them?
Yeah, and what about that, too? As people start to maybe turn toward mass transit or carpooling, or I'm thinking of people in urban areas such as New York City, where the subway is very well heavily used, do those people have any responsibility in paying toward the health of the roads and other elements of infrastructure or not?
Well, mass transit is usually subsidized. Some of it comes from the gasoline tax. But it's funny you mentioned New York City area, because the tolls on the bridges for the Port Authority or the MTA, some of those tolls actually go back into mass transit. So it's usually the other way, trying to reduce the number of cars on the road by getting and enticing more people to take mass transit.
Let's take a call from Kent in Porterfield. Hi, Kent.
Hi, how are you doing? Okay, I live up here in Marin County in the township of Porterfield. And township of Porterfield and Marin County are separate from each other. I don't know why, but that's what they did years ago. Now, what we had in 2014, everybody in the township of Porterfield has had a huge, huge tax increase on our property tax alone from the Marin County tax. And the reason is because years ago, the people who ran a town of Porterfield never increased at all to take care of these roads. Marin County always took care of them. So now we're not in Marin County anymore, but we live there. Now the town of Porterfield has to take care of these roads. And the tax increase is just incredible to pay for these roads. Mm-hmm. Now we are suffering when everybody else uses our roads. We have people from Michigan, all over the place, coming and using our roads for shortcuts or semi-trucks, semi-trailers, logging trucks. This should be put on everybody, not just the township taxpayers.
Thanks, Kent. And here's a situation where it sounds like instead of paying through a gas tax, it's going out of property taxes. Andy?
Yes. I mean, that's another way of doing it. And that's one of the things we should all agree to, because roads and bridges, we're a nation. We may be buying vegetables that come from California and Wisconsin, or we may be buying steel that comes from another state in the country, but interstate commerce goes and supplies goods and services for everybody in the country. So, yes, they may be using our roads, but some of the trucks and other vehicles that are moving around through the other part of the country that give us the benefit, someone else may be paying for that, too, through a different means, maybe not a property tax, but maybe a local gas tax.
So other than the gas tax we've been talking about, what's the secret to a solvent transportation system?
Basically, a dedicated fund so that the investment can be made in new infrastructure or new roads and bridges, but also that the maintenance and the repairs and rehabilitations can be done. We need a dedicated funding source, and that's what the Highway Trust Fund was originally meant to be. But it's just fallen behind. due to inflation. The last time the federal one was raised, again, is back in 1993, 20 years ago. So we need some decisions to be made that we can share the costs among all the users of the roads and bridges across the country.
Andy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
That was Andy Herman, past president of the American Society of Civil Engineers, telling us about how our crumbling roads, bridges, and highways may be affecting the overall economy.